The book of Romans, chapter 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16. And we'll be spending the majority of time in Acts, chapter 18. But Romans 16 gives us a little bit of an introduction to Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla. Fascinatingly enough, Priscilla comes first in some of the times where she's mentioned, where they're mentioned in Scripture. There are two theories as to why that would be the case. One of them is that she may have been a noble woman, somebody who is noble in status in life. And so because of her nobility, and Aquila probably possibly not being, she would be mentioned first out of respect. Her name, Priscilla, is the diminutive form of Prisca. Prisca meaning venerable, venerable old woman. Priscilla being diminutive, smaller, something, not quite there yet. And so it's an interesting name that she's given. Aquila means eagle. It's more of a Greek term than it is, or Latin than it is Jewish. So there's a Jewish form, Nasher, but you have Aquila being listed here. They were Jewish people who had been moved around or had to move around, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Not an easy life, but one that I think that we will learn from today, and I trust will be an encouragement to you on this Mother's Day. Romans chapter 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Priscilla is sometimes mentioned first, like she is in this text, possibly because she was a little bit stronger spiritually than Aquila. We don't know. The Bible doesn't address that, but we have those two different theories. What's interesting in our passage here is how we find, first of all, their fellow workers. They work in the trenches with Paul, and we're going to find out how much they did. And I think that you get the sense of how strong of a woman Priscilla must have been, as well as Aquila being a strong man. Certainly, they were givers. They served. They gave their lives for the Lord. So verse 4, who risked their own necks for my life. Now, the Bible doesn't explain how or when that might have taken place. But what the Bible does say, and Paul says by testimony here, this is a couple that was not afraid of losing their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. In other words, they put themselves on the line for the Lord. That included Priscilla as well. She was brave, courageous. She was a courageous woman. And he says this, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So it wasn't just laying her neck on the line for Paul and for the ministry, but all the churches of the Gentiles knew about their sacrifice, potential sacrifice, their big heart, their service. We're going to learn a little bit about that today, or at least get a little bit of insight as to what that means. Then verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Do you know how difficult it is to prepare your house for the church to meet? Now, I don't know if she had children. She may not have. She apparently had a house that was large enough to have a body of believers come in on a regular basis. So that meant, of course, ladies, cleaning the house, getting things out of the way, making sure there's a place for old grandma so-and-so to have a seat, making sure there's all kinds of things prepared or provided in case there's a need. You know, just opening the door, being ready when someone else shows up, not when you're ready, right? All of those things come to mind. And she didn't just do this once. She did it quite a few times in her years. So this little indication of who she was, along with her husband, in ministry, in what she gave of her life. She was not obviously ordained. She wasn't a preacher. She was a woman, apparently of some substance and status, potentially, but certainly known because of being a servant for Christ. So we find this text as somewhat of a whetting of the appetite. Well, what are we going to learn about Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, however you want to say that, because they appear both ways in the Scriptures. Acts chapter 18. And as you're turning there, let's bow before the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing and leadership on this Mother's Day as we learn from these servants' lives. Father, thank You for the privilege of opening the Word of God. How I ask that as we learn today, You would encourage our hearts. Help us to focus upon the lessons of life and these big changes, the big heart that Priscilla had for the things of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Acts chapter 18, this is all throughout the chapter of 18 of Acts, we find that Priscilla and Aquila appear about three different segments in the chapter. And so right at the very beginning, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. A quick reading of this text doesn't necessarily give us the sense, the full sense of the pathos that's going on. You go back into the previous chapters, and then even into this chapter 18, and you find that there's controversy just brewing and stirring up around the Apostle Paul. So much controversy that I believe in coming and dwelling, living with Aquila and Priscilla, Paul found some solace. Somewhere along the line, I don't know if it was a preacher or where I came up with this list, but I have a little note in my Bible called The Cure for Discouragement. And I want you to be listening to the cures as we go through our text, because Priscilla and Aquila, I believe, were used to cure or help, or aid in the challenge of the discouragement of Paul. You will find in this list, or if you read through the chapter, that a cure for discouragement, one, is a deeper love that replaces a deeper fear. Paul had been through some tough times. And there's a growing love for Christ, a growing love among the saints, a growing service in being brought together as a team that encouraged Paul. Two, the gift of courage to replace the gift of caution. You know, after so many times being beat up, you become a little gun shy. And so you find Paul going through this, and yet he will find some controversy right in the next several verses where he has to move on and do something else. So you find a gift of courage to replace a gift of caution. Thirdly, an abiding presence in an alarming perplexity. The Lord appears to Paul and says, here's what I'm doing, have no fear. An abiding presence, depending upon the Lord, in the alarming perplexities. Four, unlimited help from intimate friends. That's where Priscilla and Aquila come in too. Unlimited help from intimate friends. They were not afraid to be intimate friends with this apostle that was like a lightning rod. Everywhere he went, there's going to be problems. There's going to be these challenges. And yet they said, come on into our house. Live with us. We'll take care of you. And by the time you get to the end of chapter 18, you realize it's for 18 months. You ever had a guest in your house for 18 months? You know what that's like? Comings and goings and all the rest and everything that comes with the guest. Unlimited help from intimate hearts. And finally, a freedom from loneliness in the fellowship with believers. Paul had been alone in this. Now, along the line in chapter 18, we find Titus arriving and Silas and others coming to the circumstance of what was going on in this situation and in this trying to plant a church. But God did some great things, cured this time of discouragement for Paul with these five little steps, and Priscilla and Aquila were part of that. God can use you, ladies, on Mother's Day, you, men and women, to cure the discouragement of others when you're not afraid to put yourself on the line for that which is godly and godly in purpose. And that's what we find of this couple. There are five sections that we'll be thinking about today, five headings or five parts of the outline. First of all, there's the beginning of a grand association. We find that here in Acts 18. Second of all, there's a big move that happens in chapter 18. Of course, all of you know the discombobulation that happens with a move. There's a big move in this. What woman doesn't know what that costs? There's the blossoming of servants of the Lord by the end of the chapter. A blossoming of servants of the Lord. There's a busyness that never seems to end. We'll find that in 1 Corinthians 16. There is also the blessed woman. We'll find that by the time we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we find these five things standing out in the life of Priscilla. The beginning of a grand association here in chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. There's the big move. There is the blossoming of the servants of the Lord. There's the busyness that never seems to end. And then finally, the blessed woman who comes to the end of her life and has the blessings of having lived a life for the Lord. Here in verses 1 through 3, Paul moves into this area, finds this man named Aquila, again meaning eagle, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius the emperor had kicked the Jews out of Rome. Now, we had just read Romans chapter 16. Guess what? They moved several times in the time that they were believers working with Paul. Apparently, they went back to Rome at one point. Because Romans 16, greet them, and the church that's in their house, they were in Rome. So here they're in Corinth, they're going to be in Centuria, they're going to move over to Ephesus, they're going to move around a little bit, there's going to be a big move, but right here they've moved because they had to, not because they wanted to. Can you imagine the pressure? The edict goes out, you will move out of Rome, all the Jews are kicked out. You don't have time to do a whole lot of packing, I don't think. Every one of you ladies knows what we're talking about with that kind of a challenge. Priscilla had paid a price. Now she's in an unfamiliar place. She's in a new location. And here she is with a guest about ready to come in, move into her house. Verse 3, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. And for by occupation, they were all tent makers. And so they had a business that they did together. And this is what enabled Paul to be able to preach. Not as much as he wanted to. That will come later. But he's preaching and he's working alongside them. They get to know one another. And I imagine it wasn't just idle talk. There's probably a lot of discipling going on as well. And so Priscilla appears to be a learner because she and Aquila are going to hear Apollos preach. Something's going to go off in their mind that something's not quite right. And they turn to this preacher and say, let us instruct you. And he's willing to let them instruct. So the beginning of a grand association. This is roughly AD 54. By the time we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're talking AD 66. So you're talking a dozen years of a period of time where there's this association with Paul. The very beginning of their association with Paul, he's going to move into their house for 18 months. And they're going to have a job together. You know what happens when you know everything about somebody else. Things don't always go quite along according to plan. But when God's in it, there is a place and a task that you have in the eyes of God. And you can just imagine Priscilla making meals because these guys just don't cook. You can just imagine her cleaning up after these guys because after all, things aren't going to go as smoothly as you'd like and you're not going to have everything as decorated as you want and it's not going to be that convenient. But this is what occurs. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garment, said to them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. He departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus. It doesn't mean he moved out of Priscilla's house. But he went from the synagogue to apparently a house near the synagogue. And there he began to teach. And so as there is these more people coming, more people able to support the work, he's able to do more speaking and teaching. And so we find him moving to the house of Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Things begin to pop in the ministry. The church begins to grow. People become transformed. And you can just now picture the busyness of Priscilla. Is she going to be thanked as often as she ought to be? I doubt it. Is what she does necessary? Absolutely. She takes care of these people and the work of the ministry in the church. Now the Lord spoke to Paul, verse 9, in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Wow, you can just hear Priscilla's job expand now, can't you? I have many people. Well, who are they going to get to meet? Well, they're going to meet people that are where Paul's living, and she's going to meet a lot of people. She's going to be involved in a lot of lives, and that's what occurs. And it continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Talk about busyness. Talk about food. Talk about preparation. Talk about planning. That's what's going on with all of these things that we find in this beginning of a grand association. It would never seem to end, would it? And you'd think that she would feel like she paid her dues, wouldn't you? Okay, 18 months of this, I'm done. Never going to happen again. Remember our passage in Romans 16? And the house, the church that's in your house? She doesn't stop. She never quits. And that's a beautiful thing about this woman. Venerable old woman, in the diminutive terms, she was becoming that, wasn't she? What an interesting picture of a fantastic woman who we'll meet someday in glory. Well, so we have this happy meeting in the early stages. We find the sharing and demands of ministry in verses 4 through 11. And then this big job that just never seems to end, but there's a big move that comes in their life. Verse 18, I want you to drop down to verse 18 with me. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Really? Okay, so while they were in Corinth, a lot of people move in. A lot of people come alongside them. A lot of people become involved in their lives and minister there. And you have this church just start to boom. They stay, and Paul says, I'm going. Who goes with him? Priscilla and Aquila. They're moving again. They're going with him. That's his team. This is a team that's working well. Can you imagine a woman saying, okay, yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Let's go. Let's see what's going to happen. But she determined to do so. She, along with her husband and Paul. And of course, there it goes a little bit of instruction. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. They move to a new place, and they're left there. Aquila and Priscilla. Isn't that interesting? They're followed the work of the Lord. Paul has a vow. He has to go to Jerusalem, cannot remain. And so they are left behind. What do they do while they're left behind in this big move? Well, there's the blossoming of the servants of the Lord. Look with me at verses 24 through 28. And now a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent, a cultured man, is the idea here. Somebody who knew his letters. Somebody who knew education. Somebody who was good to listen to because you knew he's going to teach you something. And he didn't even remember, as Apollos is mentioned in 1 Corinthians, he ends up going back to Corinth, going to see the church that Paul had just planted along with Aquila and Priscilla, going to be a part of it, and he there had become a useful servant of God. Paul came without pretensions of learning. Apollos comes with all of the culture, all of the learning, and so obviously that creates some issues later on that Paul has to address in 1 Corinthians. But here's Apollos. Somebody who's educated, somebody who was somebody, and he was very good at what he did. He was, of course, discipled in the school of John the Baptist, John the Immerser. So he wasn't complete in his theological education, but he's out there preaching. He's not an apostle, but he's out there preaching. He comes to Ephesus, eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught and accurately the things of the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John. In other words, he knew the Old Testament inside and out, knew the prophecies about the coming Messiah, had that anticipatory coming of Christ that he was preaching, and he's doing a good job. But he didn't have the fullest knowledge of the Christ who had come and had accomplished what he had come to accomplish upon the cross of Calvary and upon an establishment of the church then in the church age in the book of Acts. So he began to speak boldly, verse 26, in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Wow, does that take courage? How do you do correcting a preacher? That's always a big question, isn't it? How dare you speak to a preacher, right? But yet, hopefully, the preacher will have a humble heart and a desire to be a learner and a listener, and will listen and be chided, and be discipled, and be encouraged. One of the things God's shown you that he hasn't quite seen yet. And that's who Apollos was. Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside, probably brought him into their own house, asked him to sit down, and out of humility, but out of great love for him and for the work that he was doing, and seeing this great speaker, and able to say to him, there are things you need to learn that we can show you that we have learned. And he graciously and humbly submitted to that instruction and saw and was able to connect the dots, and I'm sure heard about Paul. I'm sure heard about the Corinthian church, all of those things that he had been that Aquila and Priscilla had seen. Verse 27, when he desired to cross to Achaia, back to Corinth, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly in showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. They equipped this great preacher, who is very gifted, with more theological knowledge, that then he went back to Corinth and was able to use what he'd been taught and use it effectively. So is it any wonder in the book of Romans, chapter 16, we read, and the Gentiles also, the Gentile churches also, because of Priscilla and Aquila and their heart for God, because they were not afraid to speak up on the things that they knew of God, they were able to equip and edify and instruct, and that ministry proceeded out in touching many, many lives. I can just imagine Apollos saying, you know, this is God's word, but guess where I learned it? I learned it from a couple who cared enough to say, "This is thus saith the Lord." And so they all say, well, we've been blessed. And they realize it came from Priscilla and Aquila, who had had that big move to a city and were left behind. And they heard a preacher and they saw a gift and they gave him, granted to him, knowledge of the scriptures that touched others' lives. You may not feel like you're important in this world. None of us really do. But understand this, when you touch a life, you're touching other lives too, whoever they touch and however they're encouraging. And however they're instructing and blessing. So be faithful. Whether you think anybody's looking or not, be faithful. That was who Priscilla was. That's who Aquila was as well. So we find this great lesson here given. Of course, the busyness never seems to end as they continue on serving. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The end of the book of 1 Corinthians, is it a surprise that Paul speaks about Priscilla and Aquila because of what we already know of their history? He's got a list of people just like he does back in Romans chapter 16, verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you are also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. They continue on doing what they do best, equipping and encouraging the saints. We've seen them meeting Paul. And you think, well, okay, it's time to quit. I've paid my dues. And you know, there is that natural sense that we all have. You know, we go through the seasons of life. I'm getting too tired for this. And we do have to adjust as we get older. But understand this, who you were when you were younger, you still are today, but hopefully matured and growing in the Lord, growing in such a way that you're better at what you did. Maybe can do it with a little bit less effort. But certainly you are good at what you do because you've practiced. And she's practiced and practiced and practiced. And a house, her house is used to house a church. It was well after the first century before there really were church buildings. And so you can imagine the prayer times that would last all night long in your house. You can imagine the food that would be shared and then people coming and visiting. And so you're going to be hospitable throughout the week as well, and it's not just going to be on Sunday. And as a matter of fact, believers gathered a lot more than we do today. Gathered, encouraged, strengthened, discipled, taught. There had to be a quiet place to share a Bible lesson, what more quiet place than in your home? So you can just picture Aquila and Priscilla touching lives, opening their doors, saying, let me do this for the Lord. Love you in the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. And so he says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila, Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. And let's go back to Romans 16 just to see that passage one more time. Romans 16, 3 through 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. This idea of being in the trenches together, fellow laborers. It's the word with and energy put together. With energy, they served alongside or together with me. Fellow workers in Christ who risked their own necks for my life. There has got to be a story there we'll hear in glory. What was that? What did it cost? We already know that they put their lives on the line because their homes were everybody else's. To whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. There it is again. They've made that move to Rome. They have a church in their house once again. One more passage to take you to. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's something really fantastic as we come to the last part of this little study of Priscilla's life. Because she's the blessed woman. And you might pick up on why we say that as we read the passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, remember that Paul is writing his last book. He's writing to Timothy about ministry. He's pouring out his heart because soon he'll be ushered into glory himself. This is now around AD 66. He has known Priscilla and Aquila for a dozen years. They've worked and worked, and all he hears about Priscilla and Aquila is their house is always open, and our hearts are always open to the saints of God. Verse 19, greet Prisca and Aquila. In the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Greet Prisca and Aquila. What's different? Obviously, it's not Priscilla. Guess what? The one who in the diminutive terms was growing to become the venerable old matriarch for Christ has made it. She's come to and fulfilled her course. Her task. It's not Priscilla diminutive anymore. It's Prisca. The real deal. She got there. I guess when I was younger, I used to think, well, you know, I can't imagine being 21. Can't wait. You know, then you think, well, I can't wait till I'm 30. And, you know, maybe have a family growing at that point. And then I can't wait till I'm get the kids a little bit older so we really can enjoy them when they hit the teenage years. And then you can't wait till they get through this teenage tunnel of darkness, you know, and you've got this plan of getting to somewhere else. And in some respects, it's not bad to have a plan to grow older because you're going to get there if the Lord tarries. What are you going to be like? Who will you be? You'll be a multiplied something of what you are today. As you grow in the Lord, especially, that should get better. Priscilla didn't stay Priscilla, the one hoping to become the venerable ancient or aged one. She actually served the Lord and wore herself out doing so because of the Lord Jesus Christ, touching lives, known to the churches. And you can just imagine this concept of how she would be thought of and who she knew and who knew her. Paul says, greet Prisca and Aquila. She made it. She's the blessed one. Now, I don't know if she had physical children, but there were a lot of people that counted her as somebody who was really special because of what she was doing in touching lives. Well, we've looked at this text of Scripture, and it's interesting in looking through the Word how women are first at different things, first at the cross, or last at the cross, first at the tomb, first to announce the resurrection, first European convert. And then you start to see some special ones who stand for the Lord. And ladies, don't ever think that you have no importance, even though you may not hear the words thank you like you ought to. Priscilla and Aquila stand out as a testimony of those who may not be thought of much. And as a matter of fact, we had to do a little digging, didn't we, to learn a few things about her today. And yet God doesn't forget. God knows. lives were touched and their lives in glory. We're thankful for the fact that Priscilla and Aquila allowed themselves to be used for God's glory. Is that your heart today? You're looking forward to becoming the venerable older one because you've lived a life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cure for discouragement comes often through the hands of love, doesn't it? And that's what we find of Priscilla today. I want to give you a few moments to bow and thank God for those who have been the Priscillas in your life, the ones who have stood for the Lord and have not allowed themselves to become discouraged or have given up. And also thank the Lord for the opportunity you have to be an encouragement to someone else, to be a Priscilla in their life, to open your heart and your home for the cause of Christ, to open up your arms of love and what you can do to encourage someone else. Bow before the Lord and thank Him for those who have discipled you. Father, thank you for the privilege this day of being reminded of this very special couple in the New Testament era. Father, we could have looked at all sorts of women in the Word together today who stand out with characteristics that are brave and courageous. But Father, the blessing of seeing a woman who finished well, who continued to do well what she had been given by the talents and the treasures you had given her. May that be an encouragement to us when we become discouraged or lonely or tired. May we not lose sight of the fact that as long as you give us breath, we have a responsibility to serve you. However you show us that we ought to serve. There are things that will come upon us where we just simply didn't pick this choice, like the moves that Priscilla had. But yet, Father, those times are times that are your appointment, and may we see that. May we be thankful for those that have given their lives for us and done so many wonderful things so that we might grow in grace. May we be thankful to be that person in someone else's life. And Father, we give you praise for those godly people who have brought us to where we are as saints in Christ, those lessons we have learned from others. May we be thankful, Father, for all you have accomplished in our lives. If there's one here without Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that they will see that without Jesus Christ, they cannot be fully what you have prepared them and planned them and created them to be until they come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, may believers rejoice because of what you've given to us today in this life. Father, may we find the Priscillas of our day, the Priscillas of godliness that have encouraged us. May we be thankful. May we tell them so, and may we pray for them that you might be gracious to them, and may we be that special blessing in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.